Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Rent pressure zones were introduced in 2016 in response to address spiralling costs for tenants. What began as a short-term measure has now become embedded in Ireland's housing policy. A growing consensus has emerged that reform of the existing system is needed, but what would be introduced instead? Well, Professor of Economics at Trinity College Dublin, Ronan Lyons, recently examined over 50 other countries that have similar measures and has uncovered what he says are some uncomfortable lessons for Ireland about what works and what doesn't. Good morning, Ronan.
Good morning, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
No, thank you very much for coming on. Presumably it was the Taoiseach's remarks about unwinding our position on rent pressure zones that prompted you to go and do this.
Yeah, and to be honest, as some of your listeners might know, I've been looking at the rental sector for a number of years now, but there had been discussion about what would come after rent pressure zones. They're supposed to be a temporary measure, so I had been engaged in this anyway. And then, as you mentioned, the Taoiseach mentioned earlier this year that there was going to be something. There were changes afoot. I was also part of the Housing Commission last year that looked at this topic, and there were two different. There was a majority recommendation in relation to what would come next, and a minority one. So it's something I've been very interested in for a while. But it was, definitely changes are coming this year. Okay. And I thought, you know, we need to learn more about what other countries do and where we fit in. Where does Ireland look different, or where does Ireland look normal in terms of how rents are determined, both by the market and by regulation?
So in response, then, you have written this very well argued, very detailed paper, which I would suggest anybody who's interested should go and have a read of. But to skim superficially across the surface, essentially what you've done is created a sort of a spectrum of countries, from the unregulated, let the market decide at one end, to the very tightly controlled and regulated at the other end. Where does Ireland sit on that spectrum?
Yeah, this kind of surprised me a little bit, in that Ireland is already one of the, depending on how you exactly measure it, because there's lots of specifics and terms and conditions with each of the systems, but we're probably in the top three, or certainly the top five, in terms of the most regulated systems of rents. And that's, I say that because what Ireland does is quite unusual, in that we regulate newly built rental homes and we regulate rents across tenancies. Those two features are very unusual. So in the 54 different jurisdictions I looked at for the study, there's only three, including Ireland, that have that feature. And the reason I focus on that particular bit is that when you think about why we introduce rent pressure zones, we introduced rent pressure zones because rents were going up. Why were rents going up? Because we had a shortage of rental housing. And originally, the rent pressure zones were there as a kind of a temporary measure, and when rental supply would come on stream and we wouldn't need them anymore. That was the idea. 10 years on, it seems like we need them more than ever. The supply hasn't worked. And those two features I mentioned, regulating new builds and across tenancies, they're the ones that really hamper new supply. Okay. And therefore you end up needing these kind of permanent systems of rent controls.
But you would be drawing the wrong conclusion were you to say that because we are at the more regulated end of the spectrum, we have a housing crisis, because there are countries with housing crises all the way along your spectrum.
That's true. If you mentioned it, kind of that spectrum, the most common system, probably better to use the phrase rent determination rather than rent control, because rent control implies already that you're regulating. The most common system of rent determination in the kind of the high income world is using the market. And what you'll have there is greater or lesser focus on tenant protections. So what are the protections around getting evicted or not? And there's some jurisdictions like Wales or Luxembourg or Finland, which are quite strong tenant protections, and other ones like Dallas, where they're quite landlord friendly. Once you get into how rents are regulated and who regulates them, or rather how those rents are decided, there are a number of different systems. But as I say, generally you can have a reference rent system where you'll have a bunch of experts sitting down in a room deciding what the rents should be, or you'll have rents benchmarked to something like inflation, or you'll have rents maybe a limit like 2% a year. But especially in those systems that have regulation in there. There are a lot of systems under pressure. And often the instinct of policymakers is to make those systems tighter in response to greater pressure. So we've seen, I mentioned Scotland has introduced a system recently. They're now getting rid of it. But that's unusual. Catalonia, Netherlands, France, Germany, they have all tightened their rent controls in recent years in response to pressure in the rental markets.
The key thing here, though, seems to be the degree of control or determination around new builds and whether that is ends up acting as an inhibitor against building and investment.
That's right. Like if we think about it, I mean, it's a perfectly reasonable thing to say we want rents to be affordable for tenants. But nobody thinks that's a bad goal. But the question is, how do you balance that with, say, the rights of sitting tenants or looking after sitting tenants with what about the future? What about people who are looking to rent somewhere in the future, and how will they be affected by the system you introduce? So one of the, if you mentioned that spectrum, there's kind of one of the groups of the four different groups I identified. What they do is they allow the existing rental stock to be under rent controls. So if you're in on the date the law is passed, you're protected. Mm-hmm. But they exempt new construction precisely so they don't inhibit new construction. So you've got systems like Italy, Israel. The Dutch system is kind of a bit like that, the Austrian system and the Belgian system, and indeed New York and Washington, D.C. in the States. They have this kind of cutoff, and after that, you're usually outside of the rent control system.
Okay, but health warning again. I mean, the countries like the Netherlands are in the middle or the throes of an awful housing crisis as well. It seems to me, though, what you're suggesting here is that if we were starting afresh, that one of the better ways to go about it might be to allow investors to set whatever initial rent they want, but then exercise some level of restriction on rent increases thereafter.
You're right, and you've identified the, if you think of when you started out with the spectrum, and there's the kind of very market-led at one end and there's the very state-driven at the other end, we've identified a group in the middle which had that kind of cutoff date. The final group is exactly that, where the initial rent is determined by the market, as in that's the initial rent for a tenancy, but then you have regulated increases. So the tenant and the landlord are going in with their eyes open, mm-hmm. and the tenant has some protection about what will happen
so
to rent.
So you get building, you encourage investment, but you're also offering protection over the longer term.
Exactly. And one of the concerns that people have about rent control systems is where they effectively encourage landlords to allow the quality of rental housing and indeed the quantity of rental housing to decline over time. In other words, if you don't allow landlords to reset the rents, they're not going to invest when a tenant leaves and a new tenant is moving in. They just let the property slowly degrade over time. And there's a bunch of studies looking in particular at kind of older American systems of rent control where they find evidence of that the quality of rental housing just goes down over time if you don't have that kind of that opportunity to renovate and maintain the homes.
This is all very well and it's an interesting discovery, but like the fellow offering directions in Kerry, you know, you wouldn't want to start from here, and unfortunately we have to start from here, and that would suggest that if you take away RPZs now, you're going to be creating a wave of human misery.
I think that's what I found useful out of the study was that we don't necessarily need complete overhaul of the system that's there. I think one of the things that could go is the rent pressure zones only apply if your average rent is above the national, the average rent in an area is above the national average. And that seems like a little bit arbitrary. Like if you're in one of the cheaper rental markets and your rent goes up 80%, you know, you won't ever get covered by a rent pressure zone. And the tenant has to face the 80% increase. I think we could scrap that bit and rent controls could apply across the country. But it's the nature of those rent controls. What we currently have, excuse me, what we currently have is a system that regulates rents across tenancies. And I think if we just switched to allowing rents to reset between tenancies and police evictions, making sure that landlords are not throwing at people precisely to increase the rent, and that's quite standard in other jurisdictions, that one change would remove a lot of the negative consequences and keep a lot of the benefits of rent controls.
I know, but the problem there is you've seen the volume of cases ending up before the RTB. We also know that the institutional investors don't allow people to register their tenancies with the RTB. be that the sheer number of cases to police would overwhelm any system.
I don't think that's I don't think that's an accurate description. As in, I'd be more worried about moving to an overly administrative system, say the reference rent system that a few countries have. I don't think we have the institutional capacity to do that in Ireland.
But didn't the RTB say that they had 33,000 cases on which to adjudicate at the last time they reported?
That's not to say we can't improve the resourcing for the RTB, absolutely. And I do think as well, I might have misheard what you said there. I do think, say, newly built rental stock is on the RTB. You can go and check. So if institutional investors build an apartment block, you can go and you can see, anyone can go and have a look on the RTB and see those tenancies are registered. And you might have been thinking about a specific example that I'm not aware of. But we do have the vast majority of the rental stock in the regulated sectors, and the RTB is aware of it. And now we've got annual registrations. I do think the RTB would need more resources, but I think that's it's going to need more resources, significantly more resources, if we went down an alternate approach, say that the reference rent system. Because just to give an example, in the French system of reference rents, there are something like 3,800 different rent levels in Paris alone, and they all have to get adjudicated.
The French do love their bureaucracy, though, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, it might create work for somebody like me. I don't think it's necessarily a good way to go. And I think what we can do is learn from systems like much of the Canadian system, Norwegian, Portuguese, Spain, outside of Catalonia, they have a different system in Catalonia. A lot of those work on, we protect the tenants from an unfair eviction, and then we have simpler rules around rent increases. And those two pillars, I think, is a much more useful way. Mm. We have until the end of the year. Rent pressure zones are there until the end of 2025. And ramping up the resources to make sure we have a fair rental system, but also a rental system that will allow new supply. And I think everyone's kind of agreed now that what's happened in the last couple of years is not encouraging in terms of the future health. There's been very little investment in the last two or three years.
Professor Ronan Lyons, always good to take a look at what the neighbours are doing. Thank you very much for joining us.